Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I knew a guy who was stealing credit card information, and he ended up getting a U.S. attorney's information.
This is all a complete setup. I panic, jump up, grab my keys, come out of my apartment, and four police cars come darting in. While I'm sitting there, they're like, whoop, 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 whoop. There are many, 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 many days I think about him, and just, I don't even know how I feel. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm kind of like, that's actually pretty clever. You know, I'm kind of envious. I go through a range of emotions dealing with
him. All right, so what are we doing? Victims. They're the worst. That needs to be the, that needs to be the thing. Victims. They're the worst.
The testifying, you know, they're pointing you out in court. Shit!
These unruly victims.
Yes, that's right. So the reason I thought of this is because I don't want to call them unruly victims. I call them I want to call them aggressive, but maybe we ought to call them assertive.
Assertive.
Victims. Assertive victims. So. Because in my early days, I had a couple of them. Because at one point, me and a guy named James, we had taken this couple's bank statement. It's just funny to me because James got arrested and he was going to a probable cause hearing. Now this is in Georgia, in Fulton County, Georgia. In Fulton County, Georgia, if the victim doesn't show up to the probable cause hearing, the charges actually get thrown out.
Nice.
Like justice on certain state levels are like, I'm like, they're so different. It's unbelievable. So when they hold you in jail for 10 days, if you can't bond out, they hold a probable cause hearing to bound it over for trial. And it's required that the victim show up. So the people whose bank statement we had used, or we tried to write a check on their account, they show up for the hearing. So I wasn't in jail, but I showed up at the probable cause hearing because I wanted to try to raise the money to bond him out. I'm thinking maybe they'll lower his bond, which is what I had talked to his lawyer about doing. So the people showed up, right? And he got into a staring contest with them. Like he's just looking at them. Right. And then he starts clanging his handcuffs together. Like,
what is that? From what?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what are you doing? You're trying to intimidate these people. Like, when he gets out, he's like, I was trying to scare him. You know what I'm saying?
Why you wanted them to think you were mentally?
Yeah, like when I get out of here, he thinks this means when I get out of here, you know what I'm saying? It's about it. It's just the insanity of it. But I had one victim that I would label as aggressive because he went a step beyond.
What happened with James's people? What did they do? They testified and were like,
oh no, they came and they basically really didn't know who. All they know is the bank, because he got caught in the bank. He actually went into a bank to cash a check on someone else's account. And they were just showing up to basically say they didn't give him permission to do that.
Oh,
you know, and I don't know why he was showing out for them. I mean, you know, he was a jokester. You know, he used to, you know, he always made crack jokes, but he thought it was funny. Like, clink, clink, you know, because when he stared at him, he was kind of like.
Was that supposed to be intimidating?
Yeah, he slouched over him.
It wasn't like menacing. No,
I'm like, what is he doing? I'm sitting there like, what are you doing, bro? You're not making this any better. But he did kind of wig him out because the woman was like tapping her, like her husband the whole time, like, oh. Look, 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 look. But all right, so what had happened to me is I had credit. So let me just explain the whole situation. So okay. You can kind of get an idea of how far this guy went. So there was, I'm going to see if I can think of the, there was a mail order company. It wasn't Land's End. Back in the 90s, when you order things out of a catalog, they actually give you an account number. If you don't have an account, you can't just openly order out of this catalog. I'm going to think it was a catalog familiar like Uline, where you could order like electronics and a lot of different things.
Sharper Image?
Huh?
Sharper Image?
No. Sharper Image, bro. Sharper Image is like 2014 beginning.
No, was it?
Yeah, Sharper Images was in the 20s. This is in the 90s.
No way. I remember I used to go when I was in a college to Sharper Image.
It's going to hit me, the name of this catalog. It's going to hit me. Because Land's End was one. You can't order from Land. And I already told you about my obsession with Land's End.
I believe you. Okay.
But you can't order from this catalog.
North Face?
Huh?
North Face?
No.
Okay, I don't want to do this anymore.
All right. You can't order from this catalog unless you have an account.
All right.
So this is in the day when I was taking mail out of other people's mailboxes. Yeah, horrific. But I had a catch. I had a group of credit card numbers that I could use. So when I went to this is why this blows my mind. So when I went to this guy's mailbox, he actually had one of those catalogs and an account number on the catalog. So I'm like, yes, I'm just going to use his account and order some things. That's all I did. Right. I never used his credit card. I used his account to order a couple of electronics that I got delivered. And so this was at a point where I had just gotten out of jail and I was trying to get my own apartment. And so I was staying with another criminal in his empty apartment, right? But believe it or not, man, I met this guy I started a temporary service job. And at that job, I'm working in a little call center. And I met this guy at the call center. And I was telling him that I really didn't have anywhere to stay. I was going to probably stay at a hotel, which I was going to book with the illegal credit cards. And he's like, bro, I just moved into my spot, man. You know, he goes, you don't mind sleeping in the living room on the floor. I don't have any furniture. You can stay with me. I'm like, okay, cool. So I stayed with him and I ended up giving him some money to stay. And I told him, look, I'm only going to be here about 3 weeks. Let me get set up. This is a long time ago, man.
Right.
Because what happened was, because I'll never forget this. I ordered a cell phone. To be like, so while I'm staying at his house, I thought this would be the perfect opportunity for me to order things, have it delivered to his house, and then just take them with me to my house. You know, that just puts me in the complete clear and puts him completely on the radar. You know, and we sat up talking about scams. All right, so we stayed up, we were talking about different scams and everything. So I ordered a couple of things to come to his house. That's what it is. Because when I ordered the cell phone, the guy whose I got the catalog from, we're going to call him Mr. R, who I got the catalog from, I actually ordered a Sprint cell phone in his name, had it delivered to my man's house that I was staying with.
Right.
Now, these are all conveniences that happen in my benefit, which I think of, and this becomes important later. So the cell phone gets delivered and I'm not home, I'm at work. Because him and I had different shifts at this call center. So when I get home, he comes out and he's like, hey, your cell phone came in and I plugged it in to get it charged. This is when they charge you per minute for the cell phone. He said, I hope you don't mind, but I don't have a phone. So I used it to call my mom, my dad, and my sister that were in another state. I said, absolutely.
The more you can connect yourself to that phone, the better. I'm not calling anybody I know.
I didn't call my family. Oh, but I'm like, that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, perfect. Not a problem, bro. Help yourself. So I moved out. I got my own place like 3 weeks later, like I said, and I moved out. So apparently what happened is, I don't know, this guy, Mr. R, got wind that I had done this, and there was this huge investigation, and they were looking for me. Now, the bad part about for me is I was on probation. I was living in, this was Cobb County, Georgia. I was living in Cobb County, and I was on probation. The only thing I did was smart is I told my probation officer what complex I lived in, but I didn't tell her what my apartment number was. Because I told her, I said, look, I just got an apartment in this place. I don't know what place it is, but once I get the apartment number, I'll call and tell you. I just never had the intention of calling and telling her. Right. So I move into this apartment. She doesn't know the apartment number. Long story short, Mr. R calls the police. The police are looking for me. They want to catch up with me. It's kind of a dirty detective is what I call him, because he's just unscrupulous. His deal is, I'm going to arrest you and search your the area around where you're arrested, find a couple pieces of evidence, twist your arm, and you're going to end up pleading guilty. You're on probation anyway. You lose. That's his whole deal. So one day I'm at home. I come home from work. I step into the house and I lay down to take a nap. Right. I'm dead asleep. I'm awakened out of my sleep by my phone ringing. So when I answer the phone, right, I'm like, hello. They go, hey, did you dial 911? I said, no. And they're like, oh, you didn't? Oh, that's our mistake. I'm sorry about that. Can I have your apartment number just for my record? That's exactly what they asked me. I didn't say. Like, so I'm so sleepy. And like, because I got to explain this the way it happened to me. I'm like, yeah, but I don't give them my apartment number. I switch it around. So I'm like in 10A, and I tell him I'm in 1A or something. I switch my apartment around. I'll give him the right number. And then I hang up. He goes, okay, thank you. And then I hang up the phone, right? And then I try to go back to sleep. And then I lay there and I go, wait a minute. Like, I didn't even touch the phone. Why would they think I dialed 911?
Right.
The reality of it, it's coming to me. Like, this is all a complete setup. So I panic. I get up, jump up, grab my keys, come out of my apartment, go to my car, get ready to pull out of the apartment complex, and four police cars come darting in. While I'm sitting there, they're like, whoop, 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 whoop. I'm like, holy crap. I pull around the corner of the apartment complex, and I'm so terrified, man. I'm terrified. I'm ducked down in the car, scared. The police are walking around everywhere looking for me. Yeah.
Did you get out the apartment complex though? I mean,
yeah,
you didn't.
Yeah, I got. Yes. Like, but I'm terrified. The fact that I didn't give my probation officer all the information is what kind of like saved me, because they didn't know what they were looking for or where my apartment was. They eventually found my apartment because I was still talking to James. I had bonded James out, and James stayed at my apartment while I was staying in hotels. And the police came by. He said three times, looking for me. Right. And he said it was a detective. Detectives knocking on the door or whatever. So anyway, at that point in time, I'm like, OK, I'm leaving. So I just move out of Georgia and I head west to Colorado. I just bolt. It's one of those times where I just left. I'm like, I don't have any ties here. I'm out of here. Like, I'm not going back to jail. I just got out of jail anyway, and I leave. Long story short, this is part of my life where I got extradited back, which is a story I'm going to tell on YouTube. One day about that adventure, being extradited across the country. But I get extradited back to stand trial for ordering this cell phone in this other person's name. Here's where the aggressive victim comes. I'm on the run for seven, eight months. I get picked up and I get sent back, and I'm going to a probation hearing. So I've got a new charge of identity theft. And I'm also going to a probation hearing. I had a crap attorney, right? And the dirty cop was there, and he was there with another guy. This is kind of a deep story, and I could lose it in trying to tell everything. But when I chose to leave, I was driving. I was doing vending machine. I was filling up vending machines, and I had a gas card from my boss. And when I decided to leave, I just took the gas card. I went to work one day, did my job, turned everything in, but I kept the gas card because I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the road and I'm going to Colorado. So I just hopped on the road, and the gas card got me like, yeah, I'm garbage. I'm garbage. I know.
But I don't, you know, what kills it, you always do this. It's like I had about $20,000. So I used a stolen gas card. You had $20,000. It would have cost you a couple hundred bucks to get you across the entire country.
True.
Like, why would you, you know, you, for all you know, you'll be filling up someplace and right then some cop pulls up and arrests you. And it's like, you had 10 grand or 20 grand on you.
Yes.
You're always doing stuff like that. You're like mailing the credit cards to your house. It's like, or I'm using a stolen credit card to buy my hotel room. And in my hotel room, by the way, is all of my counterfeiting equipment for my IDs. It's like, what are you doing? And yes, I had $500,000 in the bank. Maybe pay for the hotel room with your own money. Why would I do that? That's crazy.
Insane. So yes, the reason I bring him up is because when I get to the hearing, it's my old boss, it's the Mr. R, and it's the detective.
Did you say?
Yes. Like, hi, I'm looking like, oh man.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, listen, I have this absolute defeatist attitude about the whole thing. But like, what I remember is that my roommate.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My roommate, so when I found out that all of this was about the phone, right? And like, he was lying, saying I used his credit cards. So I asked my lawyer, I said, well, has he produced the bills for the credit, or which credit card did I use, the MasterCard or Visa? And he didn't know. The victim did not know. So the victim took the stand and was actually like drumming up extra things. Like, he's like, this guy, he goes, he used my credit card and ordered a computer. I'm like, no, I didn't. Ordered a couple of fishing rods. Like,
they're in my garage right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, like, in my mind, I'm sitting there going, are you, you know, to be in a hearing and say, to see the victim.
Lying,
you know, yeah, lying. Understand, you know. I'm kind of like, okay, no, but I don't interrupt. I just, as he's lying, you know, my mind, as morbid as it is going, hey, ask him this, because I know he can't answer it. Like, right. I gave questions to my attorney, which seemed logical, but he couldn't answer it. So when he's saying, hey, he used my card to order this, this, and this, I say, ask him, was it a Visa or a MasterCard that I used? And they asked him, and he's like, I don't remember which one it was. Well, how could you not remember what card I used if it was yours? You know what I'm saying? He got caught in so many lies. But the biggest lie was everything got shipped to, I think the guy's name was Jeff. Everything was shipped to Jeff's house. So I'm telling my lawyer, I never lived there, right? So their argument was, but they're like, Mr. Allen did live there. You know, the cop goes, he wasn't on the lease, right? And about, like, I got out of jail. I was only out of jail like a week and a total of 3 weeks in Georgia. So it's like, when is it you think I lived there? Like, when did, how do you say that? But their whole deal was I lived there, and that's where they started losing. So as that argument started losing, the Mr. R comes up, and when he gets on the stand, and he decides to say that one day when all this stuff was happening and he found out where everything was getting delivered to, he decided to hop in his car and drive over to the address to kind of see what was going on. And when he drove over to the address, as he's pulling through the apartment complex, looking at the apartment numbers, he's driving and looking. And as he looks back on the road, he happens to see me walk in front of his car. Me and another guy walked in front of his car, walked right past his car, upstairs, and went into the apartment that from which I was supposed to live.
Well, how do you know that didn't happen? Did you not live? Because you lived there.
I lived there 3 weeks.
Oh, but you were gone by that point.
Bro, what if I said I don't know if that happened?
What are you doing then?
All right, so the reason I say that I don't know, first of all, what he's describing never happened. Like, I never walked with somebody else.
Okay.
Right? And when I parked at the place, I always parked where I never had to cross. Like, I didn't park on the opposite side where I had to walk across. I always parked on the side or around. So what he was describing didn't happen. But it doesn't mean that he didn't pull in there one day and I'm walking around. You know what I'm saying? If he caught me in that three-week window. Like, if he drove over there in that three-week window, it's a possibility he might have seen me. You know, but I doubt if. Like, he's seen me walk into the apartment. Like, how perfect of timing is that? How perfect of timing is that?
Yeah, I was going to say, what you should have asked was, like, what date was this? And then he said, it was on the 11th. And then they'd be like, that's funny.
He didn't remember the day.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. He couldn't remember the day. You know, he just remembers that it was me.
Right.
And like, how did you, when I asked him, how did he know it was me? He said, when he walked in the courtroom and saw me, he's like, oh,
now he looked back. He remembered it was you. Look, that never happened. That's not possible. No, I agree with you. That's not possible because, you know, because think about it. You would have to have total recall of every person you've ever met, especially
ever since
this was weeks or months later.
Seven to eight months later.
I couldn't tell you what the barista at the Starbucks looks like. And she's given me, you know, a coffee. Three times a week for the past 6 months. I don't know. Couldn't tell you what any of them people look like.
Well, he's claiming he remembered because he was looking for that apartment. And I guess he remembered who walked in. So he saw me walk in and it was, you know, me walk in front of the car.
Maybe it was you.
All right. Yeah, but he couldn't remember what I had on. Like, okay. He goes a light colored shirt and dark colored pants. That's the best I can give you.
This is a horrible story. So what happened?
What happened? I lost. What do you think happened?
He's not aggressive.
That's not
assertive. He is assertive.
Well, he made up stories.
Oh my!
In God. Order to get a conviction.
That's victims. Victims, they just do that.
But he's, so I expect that from the police. Like, the police are going to do that. Huh?
Aw.
from a victim, I kind of expect them to be like, what happened? This is what kind of happened. You know, I don't quite have an understanding. I don't expect the victim to say, hey, I jumped in my car and drove over to where these packages were being delivered. And I saw this guy walking into the apartment.
So I have what I consider an aggressive victim.
Okay.
And this isn't me. Although I have one, but you know, to me it's like, whatever. Doesn't matter. But so mine would be the guy Michael Shanahan where Becky rented his house, we moved in. You know, and I asked her to rent the house. So really, you know, I rented the house, whatever. So we rented the house, moved in there. I made a fake ID in his name. I satisfied the two mortgages that he had on his house. I then borrowed three hard money lenders loans on his house. So we're bored, right? Like, you know, we've got a chunk of money and we're kind of hanging out and we're waiting to really kind of waiting for these loans to go through, and we're doing stuff, you know, we're going on little vacations and goofing off, but there's not, you know, it's not a full-time job just waiting around. So I made a paper mache sculpture, right? It was made of paper mache, you know, chicken wire paper mache, and he's and the paper mache, and he's basically this guy on his knees, like screaming,
like the scream, the sculpture, yeah, like, the scream.
Yes, very similar. So I make this, and you know, I'm really almost done with it. So I'm feeling pretty good. Well, what happened was when we get the $400,000 out of the bank, we pack up. We had a Honda. I want to say a Honda Element.
Element.
Yeah, it was like a boxy little SUV.
That was in the paper, by the way.
Right.
When I read about you, that was the fact that you were driving around in a Honda Element.
Yeah, it was silly. Like, you know, but we financed it 100%, not in our credit, and somebody else's credit. So, obviously, which I feel bad about. So
naturally.
And I've tried to talk to that guy, by the way. I've tried to reach out to him, kind of like, hey, man, what's up? Whatever happened with that? He won't respond. And I know he got the message because he's told people, like, fucking, like, Cox hit me up on Messenger. They're like, did you respond to him? No. Why?
I don't know. It's just weird. Like, what do I say?
I'm like, okay, I said, I feel bad. I'm just curious. It's been 15 years. You're holding resentment. So
let that go.
Yeah, let that go, bro. So, well, I'm trying to give you closure. You can call me names and stuff. Anyway, actually, it's 20 years for him. That's roughly 20 years. So I do the scream. We get the money out, you know, and we're packing up all of our stuff in the Honda Element, right? So we didn't have a lot of money at the time. We had like, I left Tampa with like 80 grand. We're blowing through that money. We borrowed another 50,000 on another little scam. We just borrowed 400 and something thousand. So, you know, we don't have enough money to be going and buying $100,000 sports cars. So we finance this little car. Well, what happens is when we're packing the car up, we can't pack the entire car full, right? Like you can't put everything in. And that statue, it's bulky. It's a human-sized statue on its knees. And the truth is, I couldn't put it in the van, like right. in the Honda Element. Like we removed the back seat because it had that removable thing. We had this thing completely packed. And when it came down, like I remember Becky was like, well, let's tie it on the roof. Like what are you talking about? The wind will tear this thing apart, let alone if it rains. Like there's no way. And so we sat there and I'm sitting there thinking, hey, let's leave some of your clothes, some of these boxes of clothes. And she's like, you're nuts. So I went, okay, I mean, you know, fuck it. And I put it in the garage, just set it in the garage. And I remember we left the mattresses because all we had in that apartment was a box spring and a mattress and the metal, you know, frame. We took those apart and put them in the garage. We put that statue in the garage. It's all kind of laying in the corner. We had the carpets cleaned. We had no furniture. We really only lived in the upstairs master bedroom and bath. We right. traveled the rest of the time. And when I, you know, after we took out the mortgages, I had the paperwork for the mortgages and I left them in the kitchen on the counter. You know, those little bar counter things. I just left it there, all three of them. Cause I, you know, look, I'm not trying to cause this guy any problems, but I know I wanted him to get the paperwork so he could see there's insurance policies. Like all you got to do is claim against the insurance policies. Now I didn't leave them a note or anything. Okay. But you know, like saying, hey, by the way, I know you're about to have your world turned upside down, but here's right. some insurance policies and just make the claims against the policies. But I did leave all the paperwork and the policies were in there and everything. I knew the cops would show up or I figured the FBI, but it turns out to be, it was the Secret Service. Anyway, point is we get up and we leave. So we pack our stuff. We leave, we got our money. We go. So whatever it was, 2 years later, I get caught. A year after that, I'm being sentenced. He comes in at my sentencing and he says, when I came home, like what happened was he went to the house one day. He didn't get our rent. 5-6 days go by. He goes to give like the 3-day notice. He shows up. Said he opened up the mailbox and there's a bunch of letters in there addressed to him. from credit card companies and different companies. He doesn't know who they are. So he opens them up like they're addressed to him because I had stolen his identity. Although the truth is I didn't use his social security number. I didn't use his date of birth. I didn't even use his full name because I didn't know his middle name. It was like Michael S. Shanahan. And I went with like Michael Sean Shanahan. And it was actually Michael something else Shanahan. Didn't use his date of birth or his social security number. I didn't even use the address. I used a P.O. box. A UPS box address.
Right.
So I don't think that it connected to his credit at all. And here's what happened when we get to sentencing. He said that they said, well, what happened when you came home? He said, I drove by the house. He said there was stuff in the mail, opened the mail, realized there's a bunch of credit cards that say that payments are due. He said, they're not my credit cards. He said, then I noticed there was an envelope that said had mortgage payments. They weren't late. They were just mortgage payments and when they were due, he's like, everything was addressed to me. So he said, I went to the house. I looked in, he said it was empty. I opened the door. I went inside and he said the house was completely trashed. He destroyed the house. He said that I had taken the statue and stuck it in the middle of the living room. And I spread out all of the title work and the title paperwork that I had actually left in the, they give you like these envelopes, not envelopes, they're like a folder. They give you like a folder. I had three folders. He said, I'd taken all the paperwork and spread it around in a big circle around the guy who was screaming like this. And he said, it was like he was mocking me. He was mocking me to let me know that he had destroyed my life.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going, the judge is looking at me like, you scumbag. Now, the truth is, if he had gone in and said, look, you know what? He had the stuff here. There was some stuff in the garage. He left the place in immaculate condition. Honestly, I had it rented out within 2 weeks. I didn't really lose any money. If he had said that, I was going to get the exact same sentence.
Right.
But what killed me is like, it's like you didn't, I understand I'm a scumbag. I did what I did. We already know that. We know that I'm facing charges. I'm going to go to prison for a long time, probably a lot longer than you already anticipate, by the way, because they spoke.
He has no idea.
Right. They spoke with another one of my victims. And that victim said, when you saw that Mr. Cox got 26 years, what did you think? She said, I was absolutely shocked. She said, I didn't think he would get anything near that much time. She said, but I wasn't upset about it. She said, it's what he got. That's fine. She said, I just didn't think he was going to get anything like that. Now, obviously, she doesn't care. You know, she's a victim. They don't care what you get. But this guy went above and beyond. And it was like, you know, all you really had to do was walk in and just tell the truth. Like, I'm already done. You know, you walked in and you basically made it sound like I was cruel and I was taunting you and I was doing this and doing, and I trashed your house. Like all these things that I didn't do. Like, I'm okay owning up to what I did. It's like, you did this and this was a scumbag move. Absolutely. You're right. It was a scumbag move, but probably you don't have to completely like just make stuff up and lie, like just to try and make me look evil.
Why do you think he did that? Like,
because I think what most people think is all of his buddies are probably telling him, yeah, man, you know, he's going to get nothing. Those white collar guys get nothing.
Oh, so you think he was amping it up for you to get more time?
Right. He was thinking, yeah, that's bullshit. He's probably only going to get a year or two. Like, not even realizing. Here's the thing. What's funny about white collar guys is everybody always says, oh, they don't get anything. They don't get anything. They don't typically get anything or get much time if they, one, like, follow the guidelines. You know, if you really follow the guidelines, then you probably get something reasonable. Or they cooperate. Like, they're looking at 10 years based on the guidelines, and maybe they deserve 10 years, but they cooperate and they end up with 4 years or three. And people go, that's bullshit. That's so scum. They never get any time. Well, yeah, but the truth is he cooperated and he helped bring down the other 8 guys.
Right.
Like, you know, and people say, you know, oh, well, that's bullshit. Okay, well, then I won't cooperate and I'll get the 10 years and all those guys will go free. Is that right? Oh, well, no, that's not right either. Okay, so you want it both ways. And if you want to, if you want to add,
how they get it, but go ahead.
And if you want to add 20 times to the budget, you can prosecute every single person. If you want to spend, instead of spending $2 billion a year on, you know, the court system, instead you spend, you know, $20 million or $20 billion a year, you can prosecute every single person. But at that point, you'd have so many people getting so much time, they'd end up reducing all the sentences. And then you'd probably end up getting what you should have got to begin with. And you'd break the bank. So it's like, you know, you just, there is no solution. So, you know, but I'll tell you what's not the solution: getting in front of a court and lying. This is John Bosiak's brother.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and remember it for the best I can. John Bosiak's brother has his brother's name is Chris.
Right.
Chris was using, so Bosiak used to make fake credit cards, like counterfeit credit cards. So right. He goes, and his brother was ordering credit cards off this website, Carter.su, and Bosiak was also selling off Carter.su. Well, if I remember this right, his brother contacted him and told him, like, he saw his stuff. He said, bro, send me some credit cards. So Bosiak was like, okay. So he sent him some cards. His brother was a Carter anyway, but these happen to be, I think these were Bosiak's cards. So he takes the cards, he uses them, and I think he runs up, I want to say, it's either like $7,000 or it was like $12,000. I forget. In a day, he runs up that much in a day going to Targets. So he hits five or six Targets. I'm almost positive it was Target. It wasn't Walmart. It was Target. So he goes to all these different Targets. Well, one of the things you do is, if you don't want to use a fake ID, you can use your real ID, right?
Right.
So you just change the name on the face of the card and on the back of the card, because when they swipe it, it only takes down the numbers, and the numbers connect to the real person.
Right.
And if it says check the ID, then they'll look at the front of the card and they'll look at your ID. So he actually used his real ID. This is, now keep in mind, this is 10, 15 years ago. This is before the chips and everything else.
Right.
So his brother goes in, he buys a bunch of stuff, and he was buying stuff that he could resell on like eBay. So he bought, at that particular place, I think he bought $600 or $700 worth of stuff on this credit card. He uses his card, swipe, and they swipe it, and it ends up having, when they swipe it, it ends up taking down, it does take down his name. So it's got his name on like the receipt in the system.
The owner of the card's name.
No, Christopher Bosiak's name.
Oh.
So, but it doesn't matter. He's like, it doesn't matter because it's just an ID and it doesn't end up going to him. Like it ends up, he was like, they did it all the time. It never catches up to you. They basically, right. They deny it. They don't get paid. The credit card company eats the bill. Nobody's going to follow up on it, right? They never follow up on it. You know, okay. You just, so this woman gets a phone call, the real card holder gets a phone call from and it was like Hunter's Bank or something, like from Hunter's Bank. Huntington. So from like Huntington Bank, she gets a phone call. Hey, did you just use your credit card at the local Target?
Right.
Now, keep in mind, you know, when they use the cards, they always made sure the numbers went within that area. Like, you right. can't steal someone's card in California and start using it in Florida. They immediately go, whoa, 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 what's this person doing in Florida? So this was, it was in the local zone. So they call her and she goes, no. And they go, okay, great, we'll stop the charges. Well, by that point, they've gone through, the kids left. So she goes, I want where was it? And they tell her. She calls down there. She says, listen, that wasn't me. They're like, oh, okay, we know. We've talked to Huntington Bank. And she's like, okay. She's like, well, do you guys have security cameras? And they're like, yeah, I know. We've already reversed the charges. You're not going to get charged. She's like, no. This person's using my stuff. I want to know who it is. I want you to catch them. I want to see those cameras. So she drives down there. She calls the police. She drives down there. The cop shows up and says, yeah, we'll fill out a police report. She goes, no, let's go look at the cameras. So the, keep in mind, I read this whole report, how this cop was like, got there, the whole thing. This woman goes.
He's at the whim of this victim. Yes.
Yeah.
I have a story kind of similar to that.
He,
but go ahead.
He just wants to pull the, he just wants to fill out the fucking paperwork and go
and,
home.
And send it off into oblivion.
Like, right. She's dragging him into security. Let's look at the video. They look at the video. They can't, they can kind of make it out. She doesn't know who the guy is. She's like, I don't know who. There was two of them, by the way. So she doesn't know it was him and a friend. And she looks at him. She's like, I don't really know who that is. And then they go, can you print out? She goes, can you print out a list or the receipt? They go, they print out the receipt. They look at it. She's like, yeah, okay, that doesn't help me. I don't know what these items are. I don't know who this is. And the cop looks at it and he goes, well, this isn't your name. Do you know this person? You know, Christopher Bosiak. And she's like, no, I don't. And he, and the cop goes, hold on a second. He goes to his car and he looks up Christopher Bosiak and he sees there's an act. There's, it's a very, he's a pretty uncommon name. Not a lot of Bosiaks out there, bro. So he pulls it up and he goes and he looks and he goes, that's funny. There's only like one or two in this whole, in the state. And one of them lives about 3 miles from here. He gets into his car. He drives to the apartment complex. He knocks on the door. Christopher opens the door. He looks down and there's packages and the Target bags and everything. And he just basically opens the door and he's just standing there. He looks at him and he's like, Christopher Bosiak. Cause he recognizes him. Of course he's got the picture and he's like, oh, how did you get me? And the cop's like, you know, you're under arrest. And you know, they, it's so funny too, because in the police report, like, Bosiak's brother never talks to him.
Right.
Doesn't admit to anything. Won't give him a statement. The guy he was with, which I want to say his last name was Dickerson. I just remember because it was like, because of Dick. It was like Dickerson or something, like Richard Dickerson. I had to forget his first name. Bosiak would remember. Anyway, he's like, we ordered the cards off this this website,
crumbled like a cookie.
Oh, of course he crumbled immediately. This, that, told him everything. But you know, Bosiak's brother, who really knew how he had gotten the cards,
right,
never said anything because it was his brother. So, but the other guy, Dickerson or something. Anyway, he thought that they'd ordered him off of the website because they'd been on the website and they were going to order them, but that's not what ended up happening. Was he just called his brother and said, hey man, you got a thing on this website. Yeah. Send me some cards.
Right.
And he's like, oh man. All right. All right. So anyway, yeah, but that is to me, and is an aggressive victim. Had she not gone down to the Target, had she not said, I want to see because she thought, she must have thought, and they never said this in the police report, I always thought she must have thought, I'm going to recognize this person. Like, maybe I know this person. Like, not realizing they bought this off of a website, you know. Right. Anyway, and I want to say it was between 7 or 12,000, because I remember getting the letter from Huntington Bank where they had said it was like they ran up, you know, $8,000 within like a day. That's a pretty stiff order, because he wasn't buying electronics either.
What was he buying?
You know, he's buying like accessories for electronics. So, and for like Game Boy, he was buying like, you know, not, maybe it's not Game Boy, maybe it was Xbox or something. I don't know. But it was like all these extra things, like, you know, like the actual devices that what do they call those things you use to play
joystick.
With? Yeah, like the joysticks and
the controller. I think it's called controller now.
Yeah. Boy, everybody on here is going to be like these two old fucks. Yeah, the controllers, you know, any type of accessories that he could then sell on eBay, where it's like, okay, well, that's $50. That's $100. That's $200. And other little things, you know, oh, this is a case for a Game Boy or for a whatever, or you can buy this stand. So it was still electronics, but it wasn't electronics, because electronics typically they're scrutinized more.
Right.
And he wasn't charging much. $500, $800, but he's driving all day from Target to Target to Target to Target to Target.
This is his brother that was doing this?
Yeah, he went to jail twice. He went to jail in Florida and in, I think in Michigan too, for karting.
Wow.
Bozak's only been to for karting. Sorry, he's never been for karting. He has been for the counterfeiting. He went. That's when I met him in prison.
The counterfeiting of the cards.
Of the cards. What's so funny about him too is I was like, well, how many cards were you caught with? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, you don't remember? He's like, I don't know. I think 50, maybe 100. He is like, I was selling big batches, and that's a big batch. Most of the time they sell like 5, 10. And he's like, it was a big batch. He goes, maybe 50 or 100. And then I got his sentencing transcript, and the judge says, well, I see you were caught with 300 cards. And he was like, and I was like, you were caught with, or maybe it was 250, whatever. And he goes, I said, yeah, it says 300. He's like, that's possible. I don't remember.
I didn't keep count.
He's like, I knew it was a lot. He's like, but a lot could be 50. It could be 500. He's like, I was selling a lot of cards. Yeah. So funny.
Did his customers, did they get rounded up?
No, because most of them were from out of the country.
Oh.
And keep in mind, when they caught him, they really didn't know what he
fully was doing. Right.
And it was so funny too, because it was connected to a much larger indictment. So they had heard like his screen name connected with this other, with these people on this other indictment. And the Secret Service, at one point, they show up and his lawyer shows up and she's like, listen, like he just signed for like 2 years because they had to drop the counterfeiting and he just got hit with aggravated identity theft. So he's ready to go. He's like, I'm going. So they show up and she says, listen, Secret Service is here. They want to talk to you about this indictment. They've indicted a bunch of people and they want to talk to you. And she's like, I mean, you know, maybe you know something. Maybe you could help me. She's like, maybe you don't have to go to fucking prison at all. And he was like, I mean, I'll hear. He's like, I'll hear them. Like, what do they have to say? Like, he's like, I don't really know anybody. So he already knew there's nothing I can do. Even if I wanted to help, I can't. I don't know these people that I'm dealing with. They give me an address. They send me money onto like a card. Right. And then they give me an address. I put the package together. I mail it from a UPS store, or I drop it in a bin, whatever. Like, I don't know who these people are.
Right.
So when they show up there, they start talking to him. And he said, keep in mind, they only know that I've sold. He told them that he had just gotten on the forum. He'd only made a few small sales. And they know that's got to be bullshit because they caught him with fucking 200 or 300 cards. And they caught him. By the way, he's got 2 thermal printers. He's got like 5 or 6 different laptops. It's so funny. When he was telling me all this, I hadn't gotten anything yet. So I'm just taking his word for it. And then as the stuff starts showing up, fucking like 6 laptops, 2 thermal printers. The printers are like $5,000 a piece.
This is Abigail, what's his name?
Frank Abagnale.
Abagnale. Yeah, this is Abagnale all over again.
Right. He was
immersed.
It was MSR 205 reader writers. I mean, he just had a ton of, like, he has like 3 of them. He's got, you know, foil printers. He's got 4 of them. It's like, you don't need but one of all of these. Why do you have? And he's like, cool, bro, I'm making that many cards.
Really? Like, I'm thinking he's overlapping different artwork or something.
No, it was. So the problem with the printers is, he said, if you read the stuff on the printer, he said, it tells you like they won't overheat. He goes, but that's not true. They do overheat. So he said, right. So he said, he had two printers, same thing. He said he had fans that would blow out. He said, I'd sit there in my boxers and a t-shirt. He said, the room would get so fucking hot from the computers, the printers, the, all of it.
This is old. What is this, like early 2000s?
Before, yeah. 2000? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think they've upgraded them anyway. Right. So,
but when the Secret Service show up, he said, I was like, they were asking me questions and most of it, I was just like, I don't know. He said, and then they went, have you ever been to Russia? And he goes, no. And they go, do you speak Russian? He said, and right then I realized, oh no, no. Like, the people that I didn't want to talk about, Now I know that that's why they're really here. He said, I was like, yeah, listen, I don't know. I can't talk to you. I want to go. He looked at his lawyer, and his lawyer was like, oh, this is over. We're done. Yet he realized, okay, the Russian, you know, it's Carter.SU, which is Soviet Union. It's an old designation. So he knew then, okay, they've connected me to these Russians. And keep in mind, his last name's Bozyak. It's fucking.
It's not Russian, is it?
It's something like that. It's Slavic in some way.
It is a little
definitely weird. European.
Yeah, Slavic, you know? Kind of Bozyak.
Right. Yeah. You know, so anyway, he was like, yeah, we're done.
So the aggressive victim was the one that was let's bring this charge to fruition.
They would have filled that up. Listen, they weren't even going to call the fucking. I mean. They weren't even going to call the authorities. Target wasn't going to call the authorities. They just chalk it up to we lost some money. The Visa or Huntington Bank, they're just going to pay. Nobody's right. Calling. She's the one. No. We're calling. No. We're going down there. No, I want to see the fucking film. No, that name right there. Hey, what is this name? That's pretty odd. The cop's like, okay, let me look it up. Oh, man, there's a guy 3-4 miles from here. Let me drive by his house. Damn it, he's old. I'm going to have to do more police.
I thought I was going home in an hour.
Right. So that to me is, that's an assertive or an aggressive victim.
Well, and believe it or not, most fraud that's prosecuted comes from that type of victim. Like in the 3 times I've been to court, I've heard the detectives complain that the victims kept calling them.
Those damn victims.
Yeah, so I'm serious. I've heard them complain that. So So
what?
One time, one of the people I worked with, his name was Chris and Estella. So Estella was babysitting, right?
Who?
She was babysitting. I'm not going to remember the name of the person. But she was babysitting some doctor and their kids, and she went through their mail, and she ended up giving it the information to Chris, upon which we were able to fraud them for probably about, I'd say about, it wasn't much, it was like $2,500 that we were able to get before they stopped us. Well, somehow or another, they figured out exactly what happened. They figured out that Estella must have given the information to Chris. Because they consistently called the police. And remember all when I told you about all those times I was arrested with my with Winter's mother?
Yeah.
Every time we were arrested, they would come and question us about that information from that babysitting kid. Like he would come, the cop would come and say, well, you might as well admit. So they've got you for these crimes. So you might as well tell me what happened with that when you opened up that account under Mr. Such and Such's name. Like his whole deal was you might as well admit it. You need to go ahead and admit that that's what you did. And apparently
for my conscience?
Huh?
For my conscience?
Yeah.
How about no?
Exactly. He came to see me. He came to see Winter's mom and Chris. Matter of fact, Chris got arrested in Georgia. And one time I had caught back up with him and he told me that guy had called him, you know, and he's like, he's in another jail in another state and he's calling. And he goes, he just hung up on him like, dude, let it go. you have no evidence, you know, But to me, once he admitted, because I'm asking him, I'm like, dude, like, why are you still? I go, how much money was lost in that? Because I know it's like $1,500. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I go, well, how much money was actually taken? Oh, it's $1,500. So I'm going, it's been 5 years, bro. I mean,
are you like, is there a bet?
Yeah, do you have any other cases? Like, what are you doing? That happened like way down in Fort Myers. Why are you here in Tampa asking me about $1,500 fucking dollars?
Yeah.
He goes, well, the victim, he kept telling me, he said, the lady, I forgot her name, had calls me all the time. So apparently she was keeping up with us. And every time we get arrested, she's like, call her, hey, go talk to him. Maybe they'll confess.
We caught him. He's in jail.
Yeah.
We're good.
All right. I did it.
Do you need me to come down? Nope. Already admitted it.
Now, that was an assertive event because he told me that she's been bothering him about that. So obviously, like, whenever we get arrested, she's getting some kind of report. But the guy, her husband was a lawyer. But I don't know what she did, but he told me it was her. You know, so it wasn't him. So she was like, you bastard, use my husband's information to get $1,500. Yeah, no, I'm not letting that go.
I knew a guy who was stealing credit card information on people, and he ended up getting a U.S. attorney's information. And he'd been doing this for, he said, like years.
Did he know it was a U.S. attorney?
No. He said, I didn't know it was a U.S. attorney until he said, I got caught. He's like, but he got him. They got like 30, 40 grand or 80 grand. Like, it was a significant amount of money. And he said, and even though the U.S. attorney didn't, you know, they weren't charged with it. They just took out, he just got a loan in his name and some credit cards. And as a result of that, when the U.S. attorney got it and he called, they were like, you know, he called and they were like, yeah, yeah, this is a common scammer. You know, we don't know who he is, obviously, but this is what he does. And they were like, and he was like, they were like, yeah, well, you know, you got your money, but you filed your charges. You got your money back from they closed the account. Like, you're good. And he was like, oh, no. No, no, we're gonna get this guy. And they were like, okay, well, he does it all the time. He's like, you know, we're working on tons of these. He's like, yeah, you're prioritizing this. Called a buddy of his who was from the FBI. FBI got involved because at this level, it was in California. It was just a local case. They got lots of stuff like this. There was a local, you know, so it wasn't an FBI. It wasn't a federal case at that time.
Right.
It was the locals. Well, he got the FBI involved. FBI tracks it down. And within a few months, they got this guy. And he'd been doing it for years. And you know what? One of the things he did, which is common back then, remember when they would overnight you your card?
Yes.
So he was calling. He was using the spoof app. He'd get your information. He would call using the spoof app.
Right.
And he'd call the bank and apply for the loan, and he'd get like a $40,000 credit card. They'd overnight it, and then he would. And this guy, I remember this too. He had a nice vehicle, but Bozak did this a few times too. But his problem was he just didn't like using the cards. So,
Bozak or this guy?
No, Bozak. He doesn't like using the cards. He's like goes in. He's like you're bound to get caught inside with the stuff. He's like you're done. He's like what he was doing. He felt like was very safe. I drop it off at a fucking place. And nobody knows where I live. You know, I use a socket server or a VPN. Nobody, you know, I go to a separate location. You know, he'd go sit in a bookstore for 4 hours and just, you know, check his email once every day or two, get his orders in, wouldn't do it from his house. Or if he did, he'd use like somebody else's Wi-Fi, like one of his neighbors. You go to an apartment complex. Back then, he said you could get one of those little dishes and tie into other people's Wi-Fi. So, but anyway, this guy would go and he had a nice car and he would basically order the card and then go sit in front of the guy's house. So when the FedEx guy pulls up, he would get out of his house and he's in a nice car, get out of his car, start walking towards the door. FedEx guy would walk around, see him walking. He'd turn around, he'd go, oh, you know, John Smith. And the guy would be like, yeah, he'd go, okay, here. And he'd grab it and sign for it. And the guy would turn and leave. Never asked for ID or anything. He'd walk up to the house. He's like, oh, there's been time I'd walk up the house and be standing there for a minute, like scared, like this dude's not leaving. What's he doing in that truck? And he said, anyway, he said, you know, I turn around, walk back, get in the car, you know? And then, you know, I remember being like, you know, what if the guy knocks on the door? And he was, or what if somebody comes to the door? So he's like, well, I say it's the wrong house. I says, Jennifer here? And they're like, no. He's like, was this address? And they go, yeah. And he'd go, fuck, all right, well, let me call her. My phone's in my car. Get in my car and leave.
You know, it's amazing because I thought of that, you know.
No, these, you know, there's, well, you know what he did was he would then call the spoof, use a spoof card to call and activate the card. They think you're calling from the house. So he applied to the house. They've delivered it to the house. He calls and activates it from the house. They think it's this guy.
So Neo gave me the spoof card information a long time ago. I actually used it to terrorize my brother when he was on crack cocaine binges, because I paid for his phone. And so I would look and see what number he's dialed, and then I'd dial him from a friend and then just disguise my voice. Like, I'd call and he'd think it was like whoever. He's like, "Yo, what's up?" And I'd be like, "All right." He's like, "Joe?" Yeah. But
you were going to say you'd have a call from like the police station or the local cops or the local sheriff.
Act like I was an undercover. I'd be like, "How long you been buying drugs from this guy?" You know, like, But no, the better story is I went to an electrical supply store where, you know, back in the days when there were landlines, right?
Yes.
They had the telephone guy when he came to your house, Mr. Telephone Man. He had a device that he would use where he could plug into your phone and test it, right? So I bought one of those devices in order to what you'd call spoof. But right. I would have to go into the back of the house, into the telephone box, right?
Plug it in.
Blip! And now I get the dial tone and I'm dialing and calling and everything. Like, while I did that, they came out with the wireless one. So I could plug it in and actually walk back to my car and just wait. So now I could hear. So when the phone rang, I'd see who'd call and I know whether it was one I wanted to answer or not. But if I answered and they answered, they could hear me. They could hear me. It was a unique situation. Or if I was on the phone talking to the card company and you happened to pick up the phone.
Jennifer, hang up the phone. I'm on the line. Oh, sorry. Who was that? Hey.
Oh, it happened. I think it happened only maybe once. And I'm telling the person, I'm like, "I think your line got crossed." I go, I lied and said, "I called the phone company and they told me they're going to take a look at it. Cause when I pick up the phone, I heard a dial tone, but listen, let me finish this call and then I'll be off the phone and you can use it." "Oh, thank you. You're welcome." Click. Okay. Now, can I go ahead and get my card on? The nerve of that bitch, you know what I'm saying?
any more aggressive victims?
Well, no, I can't think of any right offhand. You know, I mean, you know, listen, what I've done to people is unexcusable, you know, but it's and I'm just saying that their reaction to it sometimes seems a little bit over the top is all I'm saying. But yeah, it's a unique. Sometimes it's funny. I mean, at the time, it's anguish. But if I can look back on it and kind of laugh, you know, and kind of like, you know, it was like Mr.
As long R. As I can laugh.
Huh?
Not them. As long as I can laugh.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
that's
not
true.
Concerned about them laughing.
Yeah, Mr. R was without question. Like, there are many, 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 many days I think about him. And just, I don't even know how I feel. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm kind of like, that's actually pretty clever. You know, I'm kind of envious. I go through a range of emotions dealing with.
You got to remove yourself from the situation.
Well, and I've told myself many times, I'm like, of course I'd have done that. You know, like I didn't use his card. I used other people's cards. So obviously he could call his card and say, "Hey, I just ordered a whole bunch of stuff from this catalog and it wasn't me," you know, and get all that money back. Because I've been a victim of a crime. As long as this guy gets prosecuted, so I'm definitely going to court. You know, my issue was, and I admit, that's what I wanted to ask you when you heard the story. What would, because I really believe it's made up about me walking in front of the car.
Right.
In your mind, where would that even stem from? Like, you think the detective told him, like, "Look, we're going to need to tie him to that apartment."
Right. Yeah, I mean, I could see it. The thing is, prior to being you know, going through the system and having to deal with law enforcement and speaking with them and being interviewed by them. And I would never think that they would do something like that. But now, having gone through the system and spoken with one and spoken with, you know, not just like FBI, Secret Service, U.S. Marshals, sheriffs, deputies, in general, just the whole gambit, you know, and the criminals that I've spoken with, I genuinely can see law enforcement saying, look, you know, our only issue is this. We really need to tie them. So if you can remember, maybe you drove through the place, maybe you saw, like absolutely, like, would they do that? Prior to being incarcerated and going through the system, I would have been like, no, that doesn't happen. They wouldn't do that. Why would they do that? But the truth is they do that. And I've seen that, and I've had that happen to me. I told you when the FBI came to see me, at the, was I at the medium? I was at the medium. When I was at the medium, they came to see me and they were investigating that politician that I'd bribed, Michael or Kevin White. And I had used the proceeds from Michael White, which was a fictitious person that we'd borrowed like $500,000 in his name. And we'd taken some of that money and given it to Kevin White for his campaign. The lawyer had said, well, here's the problem. The campaign violations that we could clearly prove, the statute of limitations is up. But he said, but the bank fraud, those charges have a 10-year statute of limitations, and that's not up. So if he knew that you were using his name to borrow that money, or that, you know, he knew about that scam, then we could tie him into that scam and we could charge him. And I was like, yeah, but he didn't know that. And they were like, okay, right, but a jury, you ran a scam as Michael Kevin White. And then you gave proceeds from that scam to Kevin Michael White. Nobody would believe that he wasn't involved or didn't know about it. And I go, I know, but that's what was so funny, is that I was like, I just happened to have been dealing with him and seen the signs in the area. So I thought, and I was already naming these guys, you know, the names of colors, you know, Brandon Green, you know, James Red. So I thought, hey, I'm going to go with that guy's name is Kevin Michael White. I'm going to go with Michael White. I said, so it was just coincidence. And he was like, yeah, but nobody would believe that. And I was like, yeah, but it was a coincidence. And he just, the look on his face, like at that time, like when I left that meeting, I went back and I told Reese about it. And Reese was like, you fucking idiot. He was giving you this guy on a silver plate. He was telling you, if you say this, we'll indict him, prosecute him, because we know he's already done this other crime we can't get him on, but we can get him on this crime and you can help us get him. All you have to do is say, absolutely, he knew this, he knew that, he would definitely, you know, he we talked about it, he, you know, and we named it because we thought it was funny, and I gave him the money and he immediately deposited it into his bank, which he did,
right?
But he's like, I mean, that was a guaranteed get out of jail free card. Well, not get out of jail free, but you could get your sentence reduced. All you got to do is say that. And I was like, and of course, I didn't know that's how the system was, or I didn't know at that time. I still believed that law enforcement was going to do the right thing. And they were all blah, 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 not realizing that they would have no problem, you know, in a sense, you know, framing a guilty man, but still, you know, because he's guilty. But not of that crime.
Right.
So, but it didn't enter my mind, because I was not at that point. I'd just been locked up a few years and I still thought the right thing, do the right thing. And boy, was I wrong. And what seemed worse is a year later, they indicted him on bribery charges for another bribery. And he went to trial, lost, and got 3 years. Like, he's going to prison anyway.
Like, why not you get a piece of it?
What was I thinking, bro? What was I thinking?
You didn't catch the inference, the wink, wink, nod, nod. You didn't.
I kind of did, but at that point I was frustrated. Look, there were other people in my case that they were working on. So it's like, I've already got a bunch of people that are going to get indicted. I didn't realize they were going to drop the charges. I already kind of assumed they were going to indict these other people. They'd already been indicted. They were just unnamed co-conspirators, and they had me cooperating. So I was already kind of like, I don't need to lie about this guy. I've got these other, like, it was kind of almost like I was trying to like move past this so we can work on the stuff I've got going.
People you considered actual criminals. You're kind of like, what he did. These guys I'm not gonna, some shit. You
know? Right. I'm not going to frame the guy. He didn't know about this. Is he a scumbag? Yeah, he's a scumbag. But that has nothing to do with this case. Like, I've got another case going. Like, why are you even here? I understand you're working on your case, but we're done. Let's, because there were two agents. Like, this is the agent I want to talk to. You know, looking back, I should have said, fuck it. It was his idea. Anyway.
I think you're
horrible.
All right. I'm hearing the closeout speech. We got an hour and a half. So plus my phone's going nuts. You know, Tammy's on me. So,
oh my God. Are you talking to that criminal?
Maybe.
Okay.
You got your Christmas card. I don't know if I said thank you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You mentioned it. No problem. Like listen, I'm a guy that sends out Christmas cards now.
You're like That's Eddie. Me. You're like Eddie Murphy. Now you're the fatherly figure.
It's horrible.
And I'm more like Bill Cosby in hiding.
I put out a video. It came out today. It's got like, it's only been out like 5 or 6 hours. It's got like 9,500. Oh yeah. About this guy that I was locked up in prison with, right? Like his name's, they call him Skinny Joey Marlino. He was head of the Philadelphia crime family or mob or something, the Philly mob. And there's like a whole YouTube mob war going on between him and this other guy, Michael Francesi. Anyway, right. This guy, Michael, and Sammy the Bull.
Is he out? Is Sammy the Bull? You know,
he's out and he's got a huge YouTube channel.
He was in Coleman with us.
No.
No, not Sammy the Bull.
No, you're thinking Whitey Bulger.
He wasn't in Coleman with us.
Not with
us. There was a mobster guy in Coleman with us. He had a bodyguard.
Oh, yeah.
He used to beat him. It was a big old white guy. He used to beat him up. It was an old white. Oh, what was his name? Remember,
he had the thing on his hand.
Yes.
The thing on his wrist all the time. Yeah. He would yell at him and he'd be like,
no, the bodyguard had the thing on his wrist all the time.
No, the big bodyguard did, right?
Yes.
And the little guy would yell at him.
Yes. And the little mob boss used to yell at him and hit him with his cane.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Anthony.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to think of his name because it was funny because all the black guys knew him and loved him.
There's only, he was they a mob only have
boss.
Five they loved names. Him
because he was a mob boss, huh?
There's only five names.
Oh, it wasn't
like Joey Richie.
I think his name was Frank.
Oh, okay.
I think I can't specifically remember.
God, the guy, the bodyguard ended up coming to the low. After I left the medium, the bodyguard showed up at the low. Like
the guy with the thing on his hand?
Yeah, the other guy must have died.
God, man.
Well, I mean, he was old.
But he wasn't sick.
Well, I don't know.
Or he got killed, you know, or the guy killed him. But go ahead.
No, the bodyguard. It was amazing. The little guy would yell at the big guy. And he was, I'm sorry, because one guy was like a made guy. And one guy was just like a foot soldier.
Yes. He used to beat him up. I seen him hit the big guy with a cane in the library.
I know. He's
like, the staff used to break him up, right? And he's like, and the big guy like, oh, it's okay. You know? That's it. Like, what the hell?
Well, there's a whole little mob war going on. And I did a little video on it. And because I was in Coleman with Joey Marlino, like, I only sat with him a few times, but I mean, the guy was just horrible. I mean, he just talked bad about everybody. Everybody was a piece of garbage. Everybody was a scumbag. Everybody was a snitch. Everybody, you know, it was just like, you know, so anyway, there's this whole mob thing going on right now between the channels, right? So I did a little video on it. Because I have some, you know, I don't know anything about the mob, but I do know a little bit about this guy and the character of these guys. And so I just kind of chimed in with another YouTuber who does almost exclusively, he does mob content.
Right.
So it was so funny because I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that guy was kind of a jerk. And you can look on his face is just like, what did you say? Like, don't. Yeah. Like I didn't say that. Like, I'm like, hey, he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of a, you know, he's miserable. He's this, he's that. And so listen, do you want the hatred right now on that video for me? It's 95%. You rat piece of shit.
Oh, God.
Joey Marlino's a stand-up guy, something you'll never be. You would never understand. I'm like, yeah, I get he's a stand-up guy, but you know, the same thing that makes him a stand-up guy makes him just kind of like a scumbag human being, you know, like your kids don't talk to you. Your wife doesn't talk to you. Your friends don't talk to you. You have no close relationships. Nobody wants to deal with you. You fucked over every single person, you know, and you've had to do a considerable amount of time in prison. Right. And yet they act like he's living up to like the mob rule, the omerta. And no, you're on YouTube talking about mob stuff. You took a plea. Like one of the things is they never take a plea. You don't admit the mob exists. You admit the mob exists. You're talking bad about other mobsters. I mean, it's just across the board. It's like, look, I get it. He kept his mouth shut, but maybe he didn't know anything. You know? Oh, and then he took God. And then he took
Matt,
a plea.
You said that?
I'm saying it now. We're recording. and then he took a plea.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is Sammy. Supposed to do either. Do you know his story? Like they yeah. were relentless.
Who was relentless?
You're talking about Sammy the Bull, right?
No, I'm talking about Joey Marlino.
Oh, Marlino, I don't know his story.
No, I mean Sammy the Bull. Yeah, he was. Sammy the Bull was. You know, I mean, he rolled over on Gotti too. But look, I'm not going to prison the rest of my life for you. I'm sorry, my bad. You know, and keep in mind too, he was talking. You know, like. Whenever you talk to these guys, they'll tell you that Gotti destroyed the mob. You just couldn't stop talking.
Who? Gotti?
Gotti.
Oh, yeah.
On the tapes, all these tapes, he's talking about other guys. He's talking about all this crime that he's committing. He's doing like you didn't just bury you buried all of us. And now I'm supposed to go to prison because you got me jammed up. Yeah, that's yes. the life. That's the way it is. Nah, you know what? I got another version.
I got alternate facts.
Yeah,
I got you.
I hear you. You're a snitch, and I feel bad about it.
I'm a free snitch, though. Yeah, understood.
I love these guys in the comment section. There, you rat piece of garbage. I'm like, let's see. Your respect, getting out of prison 12 years early. Your respect. Getting out of prison, it's not much of a toss-up.
Yeah, that's right. But thanks for watching the video. As you know,
that's what I'm saying. Keep watching. Fuck you, scumbag. That video you did with that black guy Zach, that was pretty good though. He's funny. How funny would that be?
Yeah.
He's actually pretty funny. That one where you guys talked about the prison fights. That was good.
That is good.
Fuck you, Cox.
Except for the one video.
Hey, did you see the shorts I did of the you watch
of the Thanksgiving?
They were fun. No, I did like four of them.
You only sent me two.
I did one on I did one on Thanksgiving, one on Christmas, and yes. one on the Christmas bag.
Oh, I didn't.
The Christmas bag was good. And then I did one on re-stealing those guys' IDs.
Oh yeah. You didn't send me those.
I don't think you watch. I sometimes I feel like it's not worth sending them to you because I'll send it like it's a minute video. I'll send it and 5 seconds later you send me a thumbs up. It's a minute video. You didn't
watch. It's not, bro. Don't. It's not 5 seconds later. I send you a thumbs up. I watched the minute video and I send you a thumbs up. It's a minute video. You ever notice how fast I've got read receipts. So I know you notice how fast I received the video. It doesn't sit there for
Huh? I pay attention.
Yeah. It doesn't sit there forever. You know, it comes in. You know what I'm saying? It comes in playing.
Okay. Okay. Good talk. Good talk.
Good topic, no?
Yeah, no, that's good. Colby will
do something. You didn't do an intro or an outro, so did you?
I you know what happened was Julian, I went up to Hoboken, New Jersey. It's in New Jersey, right? Hoboken. Anyway, I went up there and I spent a couple days with Julian. He runs a channel called Julian Dory. And you know, we spent a couple days up there and probably a day going over just how to do shorts and that sort of thing. And he was basically telling me, he's like, honestly, like you're wasting time introducing these people. He's like, you know, he's like, your better bet is just go straight into the interview, throw their name up and just go for it. He's like, you want to close it out? That's fine. He said, nobody's watching at that point. He said, most people have fallen off. You know, they've clicked off by the time when they realize the video is coming to an end. A lot of people see that it's coming to an end. They're like, okay, I got the bulk of the information. I'm done. You know, so he said, you need to if you want to get more of a hook, get into the interview faster. So we just stopped introducing people and it hasn't seemed to harm us. You know, I'm willing to try anything at this point. You know, my analytics say that my videos should be getting hundreds of thousands of views and they're not, you know, and there's gotta be, we're trying to kind of figure out what's working and what's not working. I started another clips channel, you know, my clips channel. I started the clips channel back up. We're posting on that. Like we're doing one and two shorts a day, you know? So we're trying anything to move the numbers on the views. I'm getting subscribers, you know, but subscribers are coming in because of the shorts and they're not necessarily converting to viewers.
Oh,
right.
The views are the money. The subscribers are not.
Subscribers are not the money. Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, which is great. It's great to say, hey, I got 150 or 175,000 subscribers. That sounds cool, but that's just bragging. That's like you're like, if you can say I got 500,000 subscribers, people are like, wow. But I'd rather say I got 10,000 subscribers, but my videos are getting 200,000 views. You know, because that's what converts to money.
Well, makes sense.
Hey, this is Matt Cox. I appreciate you guys watching. Do me a favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell so you get notified of videos just like this. Also, leave me a comment in the comment section. Please consider joining my Patreon. It really does help, and I do appreciate it. My contact information is in the description box. I did start a Clips channel. Please subscribe to my Clips channel. If you want to contact me directly via email or be on the show, please feel free to contact me at my email. It's also in the description box. Thank you very much, and I really do appreciate it. See ya.